and who took no helper when he authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing him. Terence fall low in awe of him. Faces are humbled in fear of him, and everything mighty yields to his mightiness. So to thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may his blessings be upon his messenger endlessly, and his salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for thee. I ask thee concerning the complaints of thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask thee, O he who owns all objects of need which are granted by his will and hastened to his desire, that thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that thou willst, and givest me mercy from thee. Forgiveness decreases thee not, and giving injuries thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from thee: the facility to obey thee at its beginning, and the favor of thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, Salamun Alaikum, welcome. This is another episode of today's special, and we're speaking about moderation in Islam.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I That's when you open the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today's Sunday, 13th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of October 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. And it's the time to listen to one ayah of one of the chapters of the Holy Quran and the points about it. For today, chapter An-Nisa, that is chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, verse 171.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا.
O people of the scripture, do not commit excess in your religion or say about Allah except the truth. The Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah, and his word which he directed to Mary, and a soul created at a command from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers, and do not say three, desist, it is better for you. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is he above having a son. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The subject of exaggeration about the religious leaders has been one of the most important origins of deviation in heavenly religions. For this reason, Islam has treated with a severe strictness against extremists. So in Islamic jurisprudence, extremists have been introduced as the worst infidels. Then the verse hints to some points where each of which is as a reason for the nullification of Trinity and divinity of Jesus. Peace be upon him. Part, we learn about the significance of moderation in Islam. What does moderation or the middle way mean? Scholars have different views on this. According to an article published by Institution of Islamic Understanding, Malaysia, moderation is the middle path between two extremes, excess and deficiency. It is broadly known as a commendable trait, and is even highly encouraging Islam for us to adopt it. The middle way between two opposite ends of extreme is virtue. For example, Courage is the middle way between two opposite ends of vices, which are cowardice and recklessness. Hence, moderation or the middle way is a virtuous position between extremes. That being said, moderation is not necessarily a position of perfection. Rather, it is a path broad enough to include anyone who denounces extreme tendencies.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this show, we are trying to talk about the significance of moderation in Islam. Moderation, or the middle way, is a virtuous position between extremes. That being said, moderation is not necessarily a position of perfection. Rather, it is a path broad enough to include anyone who denounces extreme tendencies. So, the different meanings of wasat or moderation do not necessarily contradict one another, but they are in fact complementary to the deeper meaning of the word itself. While the meaning of moderation is clearly defined by some writers and scholars, it can still be a challenge to draw the line between moderation and extremism. As said earlier, different people can have different relative views of what is moderate based on their own perspectives. This is due to factors which involve different thoughts, traditions, practices, and contexts when discussing moderation. However, that does not mean that its definition is ultimately subjective. On the contrary, it is argued that moderation is neither subjective nor determined by rational thought alone. To arrive at a sound understanding of moderation, we can determine it based on the message of the Quran, as well as identifying what is considered to be extreme.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Ways to help us live consistently and constantly by moderation. Fundamentally, we need to understand the main objective and philosophy of our religion, particularly behind the teachings and practices such as why are Muslims obligated to perform prayer, fasting, zakat, and hajj? Why Muslims require to cover? Why is alcohol prohibited? This way it provides a sense of meaning, purpose, and motivation when observing our religious practices. This guides us to be mindful of the Sharia, the higher objectives of the Sharia, and to weigh its outcomes based on the established principles and philosophy of Islam. The last thing we want to unknowingly allow our actions to go beyond the limits and contradict the Sharia and its main purpose. Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. Moderation is the topic of this episode. In this part, moderation in spending. Being thoughtful and sensible about our finances is the key to moderation in spending. A person should spend according to their need without being irresponsible. And by finding the middle way between extravagance and miserliness. Our honorable prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, The one who adopts moderation will never face poverty. Even when spending in the way of Allah Almighty, Islam teaches us to be moderate, whereby we do not give so much that we are then reduced to being in need of charity from others.
Islam serves as the middle ground in between these two extremes. In between a culture of paganism, of idol worshipping, of worrying only about dunya and its desires, building a dunya and not worrying about the akhirah, and a culture of not worrying for the dunya, not caring for the dunya, only believing in and humility, in humbleness, in working for another life, in being humble, in not retaliating, not fighting for your rights, giving the other cheek. Islam came and set a middle ground. Allah says that you, your nation, is the middle ground. You are right in the middle. And there's an Arabic saying that says, خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا. The best of manners are those that are in the middle, those that are average, those that are not to the opposite extremes. The best of things. When you eat in a moderate way. When you sleep in a moderate way. When you dress in a moderate way. Moderation is the best of all paths. Islam says that we have created you, your nation, the nation of Islam and the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, you are the moderate ones. You're in the middle. You don't just concentrate on dunya, nor just on akhirah, but you work for both. You work for both dunya and you work for akhirah. You worry about making a living in this life, but at the same time you concentrate on spirituality. While for the mushrikeen, they concentrated on the body. While for Christians, they only concentrated on the spirit. Islam came and said that human beings are made up of both body and spirit. You cannot neglect one and emphasize on the others, on the other. You cannot neglect your spirit and concentrate on the body. Nor can you neglect your body and concentrate on your spirit.
That was all for this episode of today's special. Thank you for joining us and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about pondering on a wonderful maxim from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The worst of people is he who has two faces and two tongues, praises his brother in front of him, and eats his flesh in his absence. Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very informative and a very beautiful hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This hadith is one in which haste has been reproached. In the Holy Quran, we read the following about haste. Man is a creature of hastiness. Soon I will show you my signs, so do not ask me to hasten. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, haste has ruined people, and if instead people proceeded with caution, no one will be ruined." So here in this beautiful hadith, the Prophet, he contrasts haste and precaution with one another. Haste in this context, it means being, acting without precaution. And precaution, as we know, is something very good. If we act precautiously, it's better than acting hastily so that we do not become destroyed. The Prophet also said, deliberateness is from Allah, whereas haste is from Satan. Deliberation and pondering over a matter before performing it, this is a virtue that, from Allah, whereas hastiness is from Satan and it is a vice. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Mistakes happen frequently when work is done with haste." And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Wholesome results follow cautious procedure, whereas regret follows haste." Of course, once we have, in the process of doing a good deed, once we have carefully examined why the deed is good, how we should perform it in the best way, once we have done that, it is good to make haste and to perform the good deed and not waste time doing it. In other words, we have been enjoined to rush towards doing good deeds. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, Allah loves the good that is embarked upon immediately." And Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alaihi salam said, "When you think of doing something good, rush to do it immediately, For verily, you do not know what could happen later to prevent you from doing so. If we prolong the performance of the good deed, sometimes, we end up losing the opportunity of doing so. That's why, it's always best, this is just a practical example, to always pray on time, especially when we have nothing else better to do. Postponing it, many cases, it's always been seen, it's always been seen that when people postpone it for the last minute, they always forget at the last minute and their prayer ends up becoming elapsed and qadha. That's why, on a personal note, I always advise my children to pray on time, because I've always seen that whenever they say they'll pray later on and they postpone it for the last minute, they always end up regretting it, and their prayers, they always become elapsed. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, deliberateness is recommended in everything except when embarking on opportunities for good doing. So this is something, this is a good advice that our Imams alayhi salam have given us, and it's necessary for us to adopt it in our performance of good deeds. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reproach of haste and hastiness in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Here we are again with Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that, alhamdulillah, I have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Hussein Ruhullah again in this session with me. So, guys, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Good job. So, Hassan, how about you?
Alhamdulillah, salam alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Fawad.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
All right. We all are fine, alhamdulillah. Hope you are fine. Let's get started. Today we will talk about Ayah 4 and Ayah 5 in Surah Al-An'am on page 128. So, let's get started by listening to the recitation of these two verses.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين فقد كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فسوف يأتيهم أنباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون.
That was nice recitation, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter. So, The same as our previous sessions, we will have a short explanation about these two verses, the ayatain in Surah Al-An'am, then inshallah, of course, the recitation and the tajweed rules. All right?
Yes. Yes.
So, let's see what Allah Almighty says in these two ayah. Ayah 4. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Almighty says, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ, the same as you listened, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. There did not come to them any sign from among the signs of their Lord, but that they used to disregard it. It means whatever signs, whatever ayah. Ayah means sign, and also ayah means the, like the ayah here we have, yes?
Verses.
The verses, yes. Ayah also means sign or symptom, okay? So Allah Almighty says, whatever reasons, whatever signs we have brought, okay, for the pagans, for those who are non-believers, they will not accept it, and they have not accepted it. Why? The reason is that they have a darkness in their heart. So if the darkness is in the heart, okay, it does not let you accept the truth. All right? Or sometimes, like somebody has a hatred of you, somebody hates you, for example. So even if you are an honest person, even if you are right, okay, in some situations, you're really right. Okay? The truth is with you. But because they hate you, okay, this hatred does not let them accept you. Yes or no?
Yes.
That way, darkness in the heart, okay, in the hearts of pagans or infidels or non-believers, this kind of stops them from accepting the truth. Allah says, whatever reasons and signs we bring to them, they do nothing except refusing them. Why? Because of the kufr, the darkness of kufr that they have in their hearts. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, whatever sign, okay, from among the signs of their Lord, if it comes to them, okay, or didn't come to them actually, and they didn't do anything except what? Disregard it. All right? So it means that those who are non-believers, Allah Almighty will not what? Bless them with the light of guidance. Look, there is also a reason. The reason is this, that sometimes Allah Almighty has given us wisdom, yes or no? Yeah?
Yes.
So wisdom should help us. If you yourself, by your own choice, by your own free will that you have, if you don't accept the truth, so is it a problem with God or you?
Us.
Yes, of course. So these pagans are that way, okay? So they have wisdom, but they don't let it work well. They stop it, okay? They don't think wisely and they don't act wisely. That's why. Then Allah says, فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ, they certainly denied the truth. لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ, when the truth came to them. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ, but soon there will come to them the news of what they have been deriding. They have been making fun of you, O Prophet. They have been what? Making fun of you. But they will soon see the consequences of this. That in Tafasir, some of the scholars say that it this kind of consequence, the result of their deriding, okay, is the Fatha of Mecca. What? The victory of Mecca. When Prophet ﷺ took over Mecca, and this was the consequences of what they were making fun of. And they got what? A great lesson that, hey, when you make fun of the truth, finally the truth comes to victorious, and it will be what? It will be victorious. Yes? So that's all, guys. Hope you, inshallah, have understood something from this ayah. That was a short explanation for sure. You have to refer to the tafsir books, inshallah, and learn more, okay? Especially any tafsir book, Shia tafsir book you have, inshallah, refer and learn more.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Thank you. We have to move on to our second section of our lesson, which is the tajweed and recitation. If you're ready, let's recite a salawat and move on.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
So some of the very important ones and beautiful rules of tajweed we will mention. Make sure you, inshallah, pay attention and practice them. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. For sure you have to pronounce the hamza, waw, ha. These letters correct, yes? عَيْن. And what else? مُعْرِضِين, طَاد. Yes. فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا. ذَال.
ha.
ha, ya ha, بِالْحَقِّ. And, yeah, these are. These letters are important, okay? Because they are a bit different. We don't have them in English. That's why you have to pronounce them correctly. Okay?
Yes.
وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. Him ends with mim. And the next word starts with mim. Mim sakin plus mim. Huh? Fawad? What is it? Idgham?
Mithlain.
Mithlain. The merging or the joining of two identical letters. So here you merge them and also you extend the sound. And also you produce
a nasal sound.
وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. Okay? مِنْ آيَةٍ. مِنْ آيَةٍ نُون, you should pronounce it. Because you see there is a sukun sign on the top. And we told you before that if you see the sukun sign on the top of noon, you have to read it. The rule izhar is applied.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, one of the other rules, the three other rules, okay? Iqlab, idgham, or ikhfa. So here you have to read it. Min ayatin tanwin plus mim. Again, merging, and also nasal sound, also an extension for
two counts
or two beats. Wama ta'tihim min ayatim. مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. I clearly pronounce the long vowels correctly, and you have to make sure you correctly pronounce them. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا. Long vowels, okay? مُعْرِضِينَ. When you stop here, Fawad is really good at this type of mad. What do? When you stop here? مَدُّ الْعَرِضْ لِسُكُونِ. You extend the sound. مُعْرِضِينَ. Next ayah. فَقَدْ. Hussein, فَقَدْ.
فَقَدْ.
Uh-huh. Echoing sound, yes?
Yes.
دَال. قَلْقَلَ الرُّول. كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ. Yes? Extension. لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ. جَاءَهُمْ. That is wajib. You have to extend it for five, six counts. Sila tells you, Hassan?
It says that it's better to continue.
Better to continue.
Still you can,
yeah?
Pause here.
But still you can pause. Good job. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَى. Do you see any sukun sign on the top of noon? No, then. You have to apply one of the three rules. So here, mim is there. It says mim.
Iqlab.
Iqlab. Good job. You change the sound of noon into a hidden mim sound. Amba, amba, amba. All right. Extension as well should be there. And nasal sound. Amba. And the mad is watching. Ma kanu bihi. There is a fallen ya. Yeah. Make sure you extend it. Bihi yastahzi'un. So, get ready to recite after me. Ready?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, listen and recite, please. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين
وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين
فقد كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم
فقد كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم
فسوف يأتيهم أنباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون
فسوف يأتيهم أنباء كانوا به يستهزئون
أحسنتم صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much brothers and sisters for listening to IRB English Radio Inshallah hope you stay with us in the next coming sessions we'll be there again with you That was all from us for today Thank you so much. Thanks, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad. Thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevio International Schools Network. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
The Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach toward supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran, and we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum wa al-'adahum ajma'in.
Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, as you were previously with us in our series of discussions, we were trying to have a look at the different objectives of supplications in educating people. We said that school of supplication has a plethora of features in which sublime intentions are set by the legislators, by the Almighty Allah and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam. We said that the first objective, the most significant feature, is in the field of education. And it is the fact that in all supplications, we do not find the case where something is referred to non-God or non-divine thing. For example, in all these supplications, the absolute cause is God, and nothing can ever take place without His consent. So, regarding this issue, Allama Tabatabai distinguishes between the Shi'i Gnosticism and the common Gnosticism. And he says that in the verses, traditions and supplications, we find a kind of a special system which paves the way for the Gnostic and the believer. So, in the behaviors and manners of all these great men of virtues in the school of the infallible imams, we may not see anything against the common sense and the rational thinking. Great men such as Sayyid ibn Tawus, Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, Ibn Fahd Hilli, and others, all their great teachers whose manners and behaviors had been based on the basis of those of the infallible imams, alayhimus salam, are good exemplars. All these men are among the elite scholars of the employment of the verses of the Holy Quran, traditions, and commands of the school of the infallible imams. So, in order to depict this significant feature of the infallible imams, we will refer to some supplications, and of course, we will only refer to the parts that are mostly crucially needed for our argumentation.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. so that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will, God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So in order to prove that a most significant feature in the sphere of education is this monotheism, in this shape that we see in these supplications, the absolute cause is God, and nothing can ever take place without His consent. In Simat's supplication, we see that God's name appears in the opening passage. Allahumma, inni as'aluka bismika al-azim al-a'zam. O Allah, I invoke you with your great name, which is greater than your names. Al-ajall al-akram, more glorious than your names, more beloved than them. Alladhi idha du'ita bihi ala maghaliqi abwaabi as-samaa lil-fath bir-rahmatin fatahat. I invoke you with this name, with which, if you are involved to open the locks of the gates of heaven, they will be opened with mercy. وَإِذَا دُعِيتَ بِهِ عَلَى مَضَايِقِ أَبْوَابِ الْأَرْضِ لِلْفَرَجٍ فَرَجَتْ. And if you are invoked with it to open up the narrow gates of the earth, when with deliverance, they will be opened up. In also the very same supplication, we read, وَبِحِكْمَتِكَ الَّتِي خَلَقْتَ بِهَا الظُّلْمَ وَجَعَلْتَهَا لَيْلًا سَكَنًا. And with your wisdom, by which you have created darkness, you made it as calmness and at night, and you created light, you made it as a day. خَلَقْتَ بِهَا النُّورُ وَجَعَلْتَهُ نَهَارًا. خَلَقْتَ بِهَا الشَّمْسِ, you created the sun. وَخَلَقْتَ بِهَا الْقَمَرِ, you created the moon. وَخَلَقْتَ بِهَا الْكَوَاكِبِ, you created the planets. وَجَعَلْتَهَا نُجُومًا, you made them all stars. In the supplication of Jawshanul Kabir, God is given 1,000 names, each name of which relates to one another of the creation. Yamallahu al-mulku wal-kamal, for example. O God, I invoke you, who have the absolute domination and perfection. Ya munshi as-sahab al-thiqal, you have created the heavy clouds. Ya sani'a kulli masnu', you have created everything. Ya khaliqa kulli makhluq, you have created every creature. Ya raziqa kulli marzuq, you have provided everyone and everything with the means of subsistence. Ya man kullu shay'in qa'imun bih, O you, the creator of the universe. Ya musawwir, all these names and attributes of the Almighty Allah are connected to one aspect of creation. This means that one important objective of the supplications is to teach us to recognize the Almighty Allah as the absolute cause. We'll have a look at some other instances in the next episodes. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah. Don't let me
aside. I wish to be close, close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers and Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
Answering a doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah. Who is الرحمن.
Allah.
Who is المنان.
لا إله إلا.
Please send us your emails to our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of tawassul. What is tawassul? Is this allowed in Islam? Is this only limited to Shia Islam? They do tawassul to the holy tomb of their infallible imams, or no? All the Shia denominations and Islamic denominations do that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We believe that tawassul is rooted in the verses of the Quran and the narrations in both Shia and Sunni sources. So although Shia are famous for believing in tawassul, but the Quranic verses and the narrations in both Shia and Sunni scholars prove that it is an Islamic doctrine and teaching. And it is referring to resorting to some intermediaries. Allah says, "Wabtaghu ilayhi al-wasila," to resort to some intermediaries, to some great people, and even to some, for example, great objects, for example, to the Noble Book of Quran or the angels, to act as intermediaries between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as I mentioned, this is rooted in the Noble Book of Quran, but before referring to the verses, does it mean that we are not allowed to directly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our requests? Of course. I mean, each and every one of us is allowed to talk directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it in the time of Salat prayer. And every time we can directly talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for our requests. But at the same time, we are encouraged by the Quran, by the narrations, to also do tawassul, to refer to the Prophet and infallible Imams,
yes,
to act as intermediaries between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this can be done in two ways. Sometimes, of course, it is not done, but theoretically speaking, some people might think that the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam, they are independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have an independent power beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an act of polytheism, and no Shia is doing that. I mean, if you ask any Shia that, for example, you are asking Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to act as intermediary between you and Allah, do you mean that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is above God?
Mm-hmm.
No one will answer you positively.
Yes.
All the people believe that the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam, they are the greatest servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so, if we pay attention to this point, then tawassul is absolutely recommended in the religion of Islam. I mean, having in mind that the Prophet and the Imams, they do not have any independent power. They have this position because